time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
Alongside Alex Ferrario and Tanner Hendrickson, I'm Brandon Kiley. We're going out to the Brown and Crippen Celebrity Line to be joined by our friend, the Blues insider for The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, joining us here on the show. Jer, how you doing, my man?
Doing all right, guys. Just listening to Tanner tell me how he's a celebrity and everybody at jury duty knew who he was.
Yeah. It was impressive. He came in this morning. He said, guys, first of all, love jury duty. It was the best experience I've ever had.
He said he was begging them to put him on the crew.
And then he told us about how, as he was getting ready to go through the process, there was a man that recognized him, raised his hand when they said, hey, do you know anybody in here? He said, hey, I don't really know the guy, but I listen to Tanner Hendrickson's show every day and just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. And then apparently seven other people raised their hands and said, hey, I listened to that kid too.
And that right there is why we wear headphones at the grocery store, JR.
That's
right.
That's why I'm here today.
A shout out to those people listening in jury duty. Tanner gets off, but they're still there.
That's right. Right now, it might be better to have jury duty than to watch the Blues on a nightly basis, JR. What's gone wrong with this team? I know that's the question that we've been asking really all year long, but is there an easy way to frame what has gone awry?
I would love to be on jury duty tonight. That's a good question. I think that, gosh, you know, even in the 15-minute segment, it's tough to hit on everything. But, you know, I've tried to explain it from my point of view this way. I tried to do this in the mailbag a couple days ago, that I think this is a good team on paper. I think it can be a good team on the ice. But I think once the season got started, you could kind of see some of the flaws. I think when you don't have somebody to play with Ryan O'Reilly and you miss that guy on the right side, David Perron, listen, we can beat up the team all we want. That's not going to change anything, but it exists. It's an issue. They missed David Perron. I think defensively, when Nick Leddy came over in the trade, he can skate. He can guard against the top offensive players on the other side. But I think big picture, there's no one physical in that top four. And I think that when teams go out there, they're just not necessarily afraid of anybody. And not only that, but we've seen, you know, what can happen when they don't skate and get the puck out and aren't able to box out anybody in front. There's just a ton of goals against, and you're putting a lot more pressure on Jordan Binnington. I think what the biggest surprise to me is the special teams. And they were so good last year, and they're not this year. And you look at a power play, who you guys touched on it earlier, that's probably the best stat of the season right now is the power play, middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. And yet they almost give up two shorthanded goals last night. And then you look at the penalty kill, last in the league. So I think once those flaws are exposed, then you lose games, then you lose confidence, and it's hard to get back.
And JR, speaking of that confidence, I mean, that's a word Craig Berube has used multiple times. And of course, people go back to the 2018-2019 season when he came in and said, this is a team that lacks confidence right now. We got to reinstill that. I don't know if you're a head coach, if you can do that twice with the same core of people, but it seems like that's their biggest issue right now.
Yeah. So it's a good point. Here's the only thing. So when Craig Berube comes in, and that was were the first words out of his mouth, you're right, back in 2018, he takes over for Mike Yeo, and he said, this group needs confidence. Well, guess what? They had a really good roster. They had a really good lineup. They had Stanley Cup hopes, and now you got a guy coming in who's pumping energy into the team. And, oh, by the way, you know, you're already a couple months into the season, so you're going to be able to fight through those dog days of January and February, because now you've got this new confidence and you're winning games and people are saying you can't come from last place and make the playoffs, and they get in the playoff spot, and, you know, the rest is history. You know, now is a different situation, and this is not an indictment on Craig Berube whatsoever. You know, I've already, you know, made my thoughts known on that I don't think Craig Berube is the issue. But now you're talking mid-season. Look, we haven't even gotten to the dog days yet. And this team has, what, a 6% chance of making the playoffs? And if you're looking at the roster, you know, what's going to change? What's going to get better in the next couple weeks that gives these guys hope? I mean, how do you make a trade in early December that's going to change the face of your team? I just don't think it's possible. And unless these guys somehow get better all of a sudden, then things aren't going to change. So it looks like it's going to be a really long season. I have no doubt that at some point Doug Armstrong's going to do something. And I repeat myself by saying I don't think other teams around the league are ready to do that right now. But as soon as they are, I think something will happen.
JR, I think tomorrow or maybe 2 days from now would be exactly 1 month removed from Doug Armstrong's comments during that losing streak. And I remember talking to you during that situation. And I said, hey, JR, are we overstating all of this? Like we're 10 games into the season. They've lost at that point. I think it was 6 in a row. Is all of this a bit too early to be talking about trading guys off and the rebuild or retool or whatever it might end up being? I don't think it's too early anymore. I think now we're officially there after this most recent stretch. So I wanted to ask you a question that I'm going to ask of Alex later on. Is this a situation where hockey trades could make sense for the Blues, where they kind of try to retool on the fly? Or is this going to be kind of a necessary rebuild on the fly where you end up maybe trading a Ryan O'Reilly and a Vladimir Tarasenko, and maybe it ends up being like an Ivan Barbashev for draft picks, and you just try to kind of redo this thing in the offseason?
Yeah, so to touch on that first point, you know, when Doug Armstrong decides to come out 10% into the season and say that, you know, that kind of catches my attention, because I, like you, thought, okay, this is, you know, kind of early, but if the president of hockey operations decides he's going to come out and say something, and I realize there were other motives, you know, everybody was getting tired of hearing what the coach and the team had to say, so Doug steps up to be that voice. But still, for him to come out 10% of the season and say that, I think he saw something, definitely, that even, you know, some of us saw. But now you get to a point where what can you do? You know, let's look at, you're not giving up on the season, but what can you do? Retool, rebuild. You know, I mentioned earlier that we're probably still weeks or maybe even a month or month and a half away from, I think, being in a position to trade some of those unrestricted free agents. You know, I could be wrong. Maybe they could work out a deal, Tarasenko, in a couple weeks and that change is made. But I think we're still a little ways away from that. The key thing is here, what will Doug Armstrong try to do? Will he try to work on the fly and try to make a couple trades that can still make this team competitive the next couple of years and sort of play through this like he's been able to do through the fly, I think, throughout his entire reign as the Blues GM? Or is this going to be a deal where he peels it back and he just strips some of these parts? But then we lead to all the questions that we've been asking for, you know, weeks now, is what players are movable? Like, who's taking on a 7-year contract? Who's taking on an 8-year guy? I think that's going to be the difficult part. To me, those are off-season summer moves, at which point, you know, does it get any better the rest of the season? I just don't see that.
JR, I talked about this on postgame, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I'm curious your thoughts. The people that are clamoring for, all right, you know, blow it up, start trading pieces away, get draft picks, and let's enter this rebuild phase. I don't know if people grasp the understanding of how rebuilds work. I think more so than anything, if you're Doug Armstrong, you're looking at this scenario and saying, we need to see if we can do a quick transition. We need to see if we can do what Dallas did with their team, or heck, what we did with our team from David Backes to Alex Pietrangelo. But I guess the bigger question is, do they have the pieces to make that quick transition in terms of the right guys on the roster to help bridge that gap?
Yeah, see, so that's the key, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, if you look at a roster, you know, the Washington Capitals right now are an extreme. They got 11 guys who are going to be free agents this offseason. But let's just tone it down a bit and say you got 5 or 6 guys. You know, not a lot of guys under 6, 7, 8-year contracts. You can kind of change things up and make some creative moves and change this roster significantly so you kind of fix the flaws, but you still have a team that can compete through this. But when you have Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko, who, oh, by the way, would probably get you a pretty good package back in terms of, you know, futures, I think that you have to look at the situation honestly and say, you know, what teams out there, what cap teams, and those are going to be the playoff teams, the cap teams, heading into the trade deadline are going to want to take on a guy who's not playing well for his own team, and yet you still owe him $40, $50 million. And that's what I'm trying to say here, is it's not as easy as a fix for Doug Armstrong if you decide to take the rebuild route. Like, he's going to have to take each case by case. Okay, here's Torrey Krug. Is there any interest out there in him with his contract? You know, and I'm just pulling up examples of guys with long-term contracts, you know, Colton Parayko, Braden Schenn, so on and so forth. I mean, you can't just pick up the phone and unload four of those guys with those long-term deals, you know, find this nice package for them, and all of a sudden you got a different team with a lot of hope that, you know, can be a little bit competitive, but at the same time, you're really building for the future. This is a really, really difficult situation that the Blues are in.
JR, we appreciate the time as always, man. People can find your pieces on the mailbag over at The Athletic, or they can follow you on Twitter for all of your reporting throughout the days at JP Rutherford. We'll talk with you again next week, my man.
Yeah, and just posted a podcast with John Hamm. Talked to him a couple days ago, and that was just posted. So he was really good, fun to talk to, and you know, he's trying to keep a bright outlook here, but pretty honest about the Blues right now.
I gotta say, what does he want, JR? Does John Hamm want a rebuild or a retool?
Well, you have to listen to find out.
Oh, you son of a gun.
What
you son of a gun.
JR, we'll talk with you soon, man.
All right, see you guys.